Easter Bunny.
That's a good thing! That's a good thing!
And it will make sense, I hope. Sit in here. Okay. Well, today is Easter, the day of the resurrection, a gift beyond all others. You can't beat it. God giving his Son to us. God himself here on earth in the flesh. Okay, so why did God give and give and give and give, even so much as to be giving his Son, even knowing, even with all of our sins, knowing that at times each and every one of us is going to be ignoring him or forgetting about him or not worshiping him or not loving him as we should, and that's each and every one of us. So why did he? Anybody got an answer? Well, take out your lectionary. I'm going to help and cheat with you. Look at the pod. And it's in the first line, and it's an R word. Anybody? Redemption. Everybody say it.
Redemption.
Yay, yay, redemption. Did you ever get one of those coupons in the mail, like a redemption card, a redeeming card? I actually got one yesterday, and it cracked me up, from Verizon. It's something that you kind of get for free if you have the coupon. Well, why do businesses do that? Why do stores do that? Well, they want you to come back. But they also want your business. They want to make more money. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's okay. Unless, of course, it's excessive profit. I won't go into any of the businesses, but it's okay if it's normal, normal profit. But their redemption coupon is not altruistic. But now God redeems, God gives, and yes, he wants us to come back. He wants us to come back to him, to return to him, but not for profit or gain for him. The profit and the gain. It's a win-win situation for each and every one of us. But it's a choice. You say yes or no. So just for a moment, let's think about redemption. We have a choice. And what does one of the things, what does redemption give us? We even read it in the collect. Here's our choice. When our bodies give out, sometimes young, sometimes old, but sometimes by accidents. But when the body fails, we die. Now, do we want to have nothing after that? Like not be alive? Do we want to choose that? Or do we want to live forever? We want to live eternally in heaven with our God, seeing all of our past relatives, all of our past friends, everyone, all the angels and the archangels and the dominions, everybody that's up in heaven, and then also knowing that all of our family members and all of our friends that live longer than we do are eventually going to come up too. We're going to be with God. We're going to be happy and joyful, healthy, whole, and at peace. And there's no rejection in heaven. It's not boring, I guarantee you. Absolutely, 100%. Heaven is fun. So is anyone interested in eternal life or redemption? Do I have a yes?
Yes,
yes. Yay, yes. That's good. Because that's why we're here. That's what we're all about. We are here because of all that God accomplished through Jesus for us. His life, his way, his teachings, his healings, his death on the cross, the crucifixion, his resurrection, his love, and let's not forget, it's all mingled or mixed in with his patience, praise the Lord, his forgiveness, his mercy, and his compassion. If we didn't, or if we don't believe in Jesus, that he's our Lord, that he's God's Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, if we don't believe in his crucifixion and resurrection, we could have just stayed in bed. It would have been more logical. We could have just stayed in bed. But in each and every one of us, we're here today. There's something stirring us to be here. There's something that we know or that we perceive. And what is that something? We are here because Jesus Christ has risen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So for me, I was thinking to myself, when I first started going to church with my family a long, long time ago, we won't say how many years, I remember, or I was thinking about, what got my attention? What made me interested? I was six. The first day that we were in Sunday school, the story that we read, the Bible story that the teacher read, was Daniel and the Lion's Den. Well, I have to tell you, I was impressed. I was impressed with Daniel because he prayed three times a day and God saved him from being eaten by the lion. I still can see everything that day. I can absolutely see everything. It was so impressive. The bad guys were very jealous of Daniel because King Darius loved Daniel. And so they tricked King Darius, made a law that, oh, you can't pray to God, only to the king. And poor King Darius fell for that. And then, of course, Daniel being a true Jew, a true, honest Israelite to his God, he prayed to God anyway, no matter what. And, of course, the bad guys came and got him, brought him to King Darius. Darius was very sad, but they threw him in the lion's den because that was the law. King Darius did not sleep that night. So he ran in the morning to where the lion's den was, and he opened it up, and there was Daniel. He was fine. God had protected him. I was so impressed. The story ends really well for Daniel, really well for King Darius. In fact, King Darius made a new law that people were going to pray to Daniel's God. The bad guys, well, it wasn't all that of a good ending for them. The other thing I remember, I saved up my allowance for a long time. There was a little like Christian bookstore in the church. And I saw this. I spied it. I kept looking at it, looking at it. And I saved and I saved and I saved. And I thought this was so cool because it's a crucifix. But being a typical kid, it did things. You can set it up. It had little candles in it that you can stick on the other side of each other. And it even had, I'm going to get it up, a little holy water bottle. Okay? Now the top's gone. It got broken. It's old. Everyone's so old. But I put, what is it? Black pressing seal. It works. There's holy water in it. But for me, I remember that too. I remember where it was. I remember getting it. It was something that I could put near my bed and I could pray. It, to me, it was like awesome. It was just so cool because it did stuff. Of course, I was young. But I still had it. It's in the center of my house. Always has been. Hopefully, it always will. These are all tangible things. All of these are tangible things. But they helped me, and it helps each and every one of us. God knows this, and he uses them to help us grow, to help us learn, to help us believe, to help us remember, to help us be interested and energetic about God. And thinking about tangible things, what else? What else did God give us? The Ten Commandments? The Bible? Anybody? Prayer book? Hymnal? Sacraments? The list goes on and on and on because God knows we're human beings and we need tangible things. And how about today, Holy Communion, the bread and the wine? Jesus related his body and blood in a meal, his broken body to the bread that was shared, his blood that was shed for us in the wine. So why do we come to communion? Why are we supposed to do this every Sunday? Because Jesus said so. All of these things, plus our faith, our love, our trust, our obedience, all of these things help us to remember who we are. We are God's children, and what we are to be about, which is following Jesus, worshiping God, and serving Him and one another as we should. And I thought to myself, James, the letter of James, in his first chapter, in two verses, he kind of sums it up. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, and then at once forget what he was like. Well, the gospel today tells us that the women, they didn't forget. They went back. They went back to take care of the dead body of Jesus. They hadn't gotten quite the message yet. So they did, and we know what happened. The angel told them, he's not here, he rose. Don't you remember what he said? So go, get on with it. So they ran back to the disciples. Now the disciples, well, they had their doubts about the woman's story. But Peter listened. Peter got up, and he went to check it out. The Holy Spirit was nudging him, just as he's nudging us today to get here. He said, Peter, go, check it out. Look and see for yourself and remember what Jesus said. Remember what your Lord told you. So for us, let's not forget. And whatever it may be, and think about it, whatever it may be, what got our attention first? What drew us to the Lord? Remember it and hold on to it and allow God to continue to use it in an ever-growing relationship. God loves us. And yes, the church needs us. The church needs all of us. But more than that, much more than that, we're to share and tell people that God the Father wants us. He wants us back. God the Son saved us. God the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and energy to do what we ought to do. To get up and go and check it out. Be here and worship. Have a relationship with the Lord. And serve Him as He deserves. Yesterday I thought to myself, after all of Holy Week, I thought, wow, what can I possibly say at this point that even might make a difference? And then I thought to myself, there's absolutely nothing that I can say. It's all up to us as individuals to listen and to respond to the inner stirrings of the Holy Spirit in each of us. It's up to us as individuals to grow from only this. To realize God's gift to us in all that Jesus did. It's up to us to want God in our lives as much as God wants us in His. Hallelujah! The Lord has risen.
The Lord has risen indeed. Hallelujah.